I mean, I didn't hear you clap.
Because it was exactly the same time I did clap.
Perfect clapping.
Clapped up.
You got the clap.
And you fell into my clap trap.
Well, before we speak, Justin, I know that someone else wants to introduce the podcast again this week, don't they? After the popularity.
Oh, C7250 Mark III?
Yeah. It's been incredibly popular.
Welcome to the Freaks and Furs podcast.
Thank you, robot.
Powering down.
We need a name for him, don't we? Because that one that you just said is a bit convoluted. So maybe the listener can get in touch with a suitable name for the robot.
Let's throw a couple in the mix. I'd say Shitbot. Shitbot's a good one. That'll do. Let's call it Shitbot.
Shitbot.
Because it's double meaning of bot, obviously. Yes.
The shit botty.
I've had a shit bot recently.
Yeah, how you doing?
Oh, funny you should ask, Ash. Do you want to tell you about my little experience this week?
You absolutely know I do.
Right, I did a gig on the in the not too distant past, before lockdown. So I got a message that I at some stage had been in contact with someone who had been in contact with someone who tested positive for COVID-19.
Yes. Okay.
Day after, said person said, I've been and had a test. Unfortunately, I'm positive.
And so had you been in close proximity with this person or just at a gig with them?
Yeah. Been in a building and in and around them.
Oh, I remember you saying a little while ago about this. Yes.
Okay. So they go, according to current NHS guidelines, you should go get tested. So I went on the old...
Googles.
Yeah, on the old Googles, and there was a park and ride near Norwich that where there'd been
park and ride.
You know, a park and ride site had been converted to a drive-through
bus.
Yeah, well, it's no longer right, being used for bus. It's now been turned into a drive-through test centre.
Lovely.
So I went there, and it was. Oh, so I went on there, and it said like you don't have to get referred by a doctor, but you can't just turn up. You need an appointment. So I was like, well, how do I get one of them? So I went on the site, and basically, again, the conspiracy in me, man in me, thinks it's data mining, and I had to put in my name and all this shit. So they emailed me a QR code, thank you much. And they go, right, you turn up between 5 and 5:30. So I got there at 5, because I'm a punctual man. I do not approve of tardiness in any of its forms.
Whereas I don't believe in time at all.
You don't believe in time, and I find that incredibly rude to your fellow man/woman/non-gender-specific humanoid or animal. So I got there, and it's like all these signs. It's like, so you drive into the park and
ride. Do you mean like metaphorical signs?
No, actual like physical signs. So you turn up. So as I turned up to the park and ride, there was like these big marquees they looked like. All set. It was just out of a film, mate. It was like that.
Yeah, like something out of a zombie film.
Yeah, it was like something out. Yeah, like something out of that film. Is it District, the one in the South Africa, District 9? Or
yeah,
it's like reminded me of like this intern. Is it internment
camp?
District
Nurse.
District Nurse. District Line. Reminded me of that film where the aliens are all on the tube.
Starts in Upminster, it goes all the way.
Yeah, and there's a big kerfuffle at Earl's Court. So I get to that was a good reference because when I used to use the District Line every day of my life, I had to change at Earl's Court, and it was extremely busy. Because I think it's where the Circle and District.
Shame about Earl's Court closing.
Earl's Court's closed.
Yeah, about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Earl's Court station's closed.
No. Earl's Court itself.
Oh yeah, that's where I went to my first boxing match.
Who did you see?
Lennox Lewis and Razor Ruddock. Earl's Court Arena.
Wow.
And that was Halloween! Because I remember all the promo was it was Halloween, so that would have been probably 1992? October 91 or 92.
What time of night was that? Would it have been like 3 a.m. over here?
No, it was. It did start quite late, to sort of tailor to the American. No, it was live. I wanted to see it live.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but it would have been on TV as well.
Oh, yeah, no, but you said it would have been at 3 a.m. over here. Like, it would have been at a different time somewhere else.
No. I mean, did they have it at that time?
No, I think it started a bit late. I remember Ricky Hatton Costa Zoo started at, like, 2:30 in the morning for American audiences. And that was at Manchester.
31st of October 1992, it was billed as the Fight for the Right.
Yeah, because it was like an actual title eliminator, which never...
Title eliminator. Oh, they were good. I used to like title.
Never actually happened, because what happened in the aftermath? Riddick Bowe chucked his belt in the bin. Remember that?
Why did he? Why?
Because he didn't want to... Well, Lennox Lewis beat him when they were amateurs. And Lennox Lewis beat Razor Ruddock, who everyone thought Razor Ruddock was going to win. I was a huge Lennox Lewis fan, but I even thought he was going to lose. But because Razor Ruddock had come off a close loss to Mike Tyson. And Lennox Lewis fucking annihilated him in two rounds. It was brilliant. Best thing ever. But...
He obliterates Razor Ruddock to win the WBC.
Well, yeah. To win... No. No. To earn a challenge to the WBC, which is one of the belts Riddick Bowe had. So the WBC was saying, you've got to fight Lennox Lewis or we'll strip the belt off you. And he famously chucked it in the bin at a press conference.
Because he was scared.
Yeah, I think he was scared, yeah. Didn't want to fight him, so he chucked the belt in the bin. Because Riddick Bowe was a very, very long, big man. Famously got massively fat, but he had very long...
So what would it have been then? What would it have been that meant... What realistically... Him saying, no, I'm not fighting you. What was his actual excuse?
He said, WBC want me to fight this bum. This is what I think of the WBC. This bin ain't worth shit. And he chucked it in the bin. And of course, the irony is, you know, there's a lot, when there was only one belt in the old days, it was that one. So the WBC...
He gave it up rather than fight.
Yeah, he did. But made it look like he was devaluing it.
Because he lost it to him in the Olympics in 88.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I said.
Well, I think if I remember right.
Yeah, well done. But no, but the thing is, so the WBC, as they say, is the man that beat the man that beat the man that beat the man. Like, Muhammad Ali had the WBC belt. Rocky Marciano had the WBC belt. Jack Johnson had the WBC belt, I think. But when there was only one belt, when there was only one sanctioning body, it was the WBC. So for him to go, this is the shit one, and he kept like the IBF or the WBO, or he kept one of the other ones, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is insane.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's just cowardly. You didn't want to fight him. I think Lewis would have killed him.
So Lewis was just awarded the belt?
Yeah. I believe so. Sometimes you have to fight for a vacated belt, but he might have been awarded it. I think he was Britain's first heavyweight champion since Fitzsimmons, but it was weird because he didn't actually win it in the ring, which is why it's...
Yeah, he just took it.
He didn't take it, he earned it. But I mean, that's just... Riddick Bowe was just a prick. I never liked him. Never liked Riddick Bowe.
I think Lennox Lewis is one of the only heavyweight champions to beat every opponent he ever fought.
Absolutely. And he was robbed. He was robbed. I mean, he lost... His two losses were one punch. Oliver McCall and Haseem Rahman.
Haseem Rahman. He lost them, but avenged both, I think.
Well, Haseem Rahman, if I'm not mistaken, he lost in South Africa.
And it was against Neil Ruddock, the professional footballer, you're saying, yeah?
Yeah, Dominic Razor Ruddock. Left hook. Famous for his left hook. But Lewis hit him high on the temple at the end of the first round and his legs went. And it was right at the end. I mean, just before the bell.
Yeah.
And the place went crazy. I mean, it was inside. It was in the Earls Court Arena. I mean, I urge someone to go and watch it on YouTube because I have watched so much boxing. And even when I watch it on TV, I've never seen a reaction in the stadium like I have that. It was insane. Well, no, you had this minute.
That was heard around
the world.
So
you had this minute. So he knocked him down and no one could believe it. And then you had a minute while in between rounds, whenever it was like this buzz and everyone was going, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Then he come out and just knocked him out, like knocked him down again. And it was like, and then it was just like this weird, I mean, when I went back to school, because I was doing A-levels at the time, everyone was like, oh, because I told everyone I was going. It was like quite a big deal. Like my mate hired a car who was older than me and we drove down to London. First time I ever went into a Pizza Hut, I'd never seen one before. Little poor boy from the sticks, mate.
Never seen a pizza before.
I'd seen a Pizza Hut on the telly. I'd never actually driven near or past one. And we went in and I didn't order any food because I just thought it'd be really expensive. And I had a pint of Carlsberg.
At a Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
Maverick.
Absolutely. Just had a pint of Carlsberg and didn't eat. I remember I didn't eat anything that whole day because I was worried. I'd never been to London before.
Because it's so expensive.
I was worried. I was worried that I'd get my wallet out of my pocket and then someone would just like nick it. I don't know, I was so nervous.
No, you're right. You're right, because my parents have friends from Suffolk, and I met them when I was working in London. I went to meet them, and they were just like, "It's so busy. It's so noisy. It's so bustly." That
yeah, freaked me out. I was absolutely freaked out at all turns.
It's taken so much for granted that you're just okay with the hustle and bustle of London if you don't go there. But it is rammed with people. And then incredibly busy and noisy. There's always building works. There's always cars. There's always something.
It's just... Well, I was listening to something the other day. Someone was saying... I think it was Dave Chappelle. He moved to, like, a smaller town. He spent a lot of time in New York and LA. And he said what he likes about the smaller town, he goes, is your day's just more predictable. In that, he goes, you see the same faces. You say hello to people. You see the same people. It's not always strangers in your face. And he goes, and when you're famous, he says, when you're in New York, everyone knows who I am. I don't know who they are. He goes, but in a small town, everyone's famous. We all know each other. And it's a leveller. And I thought that was quite interesting way of looking at it.
That is very... That, but that's strange, isn't it? What a strange place to be in your life.
Well, he is a bit like that. I mean, at the height of his fame, he just fucked off. He fucked off to Africa, didn't he? Just quit his show and said, I'm out of it.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was doing the Chappelle show. It was on the new David Letterman series, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. And I was watching that, and there was a specific sketch he did where he was filming it, and he was in blackface. I mean, Dave Chappelle's black, but he was in blackface, dressed up like a minstrel.
Yeah.
And it was like every time someone said something that might have been a little bit... It was this sketch. I never saw it. I didn't really watch his show, but he said... Every time there was a sketch where a white person might be a little bit like, oh, is this a bit racist or not? He would sort of like pop up in the corner dressed up as a minstrel. A bit like Bully did when he checked the spelling in Bullseye.
What, as if to say, this is okay?
Or you'd... I don't know. I just heard him describe the sketch. I never saw it. But anyway, he was filming it and like a couple of the crew members were laughing at him in blackface. And he said it just... He felt really weird about it. He felt shame is the word he used. That white people
of
were...
What he was doing.
Yeah, and it kind of dawned on him that they were laughing in the wrong way about or something. So he just was like, fuck this, and fucked off.
But that's strange. Like, never on anything like that scale. But if you... Because, you know, obviously I'm aware and you're aware that you... As an MC, you can be quite hard on the audience. Not just you. I mean...
Yeah.
Us, you can be quite hard and get away with it because you're still their friend. It's a weird position being an MC.
Well, I've noticed something about my own style, whereas I set up my character.
Mm.
There is definitely a layer of, I don't want to say, I don't know, irony, but I do get away with it because I just set it up. I set myself up as the buffoon at the very beginning. And then this buffoon saying buffoon things to people, and I never get it on. I never ever insult someone on the money. So if I say, ask someone,
so if they're, yeah.
If I ask someone a question and they reply, I take the piss, but from an angle where I'm wrong, but so convinced I'm right. And this, you can even, it's a bit of a cheat, really. That people can even laugh that I'm being horrible to you about what you do for a living, but I'm also getting the facts wrong. So say, for example. I don't know. Say someone said they were a fucking... can't think of an example. Say someone said they were...
Can't think of any job.
Well, no, I'm saying like a job that sounds a bit like another job.
I know.
And I'll go, oh, that sounds a bit like that. An idiot could confuse the two. I'm going to go in hard on them.
Yeah.
Slating them for saying the thing what they don't do. Do you know what I mean? I'm always trying to just offset it a little bit to cover myself. It's cowardice. It's not genius. It's cowardice.
No, I don't think it is, because I think you're not an arsehole. So if you actually went for someone... But have you ever... That's what I was going to say, because I had something recently in one of these gigs that we've done in the recent times, which I was telling you about, where I made a joke about another act, and I actually thought to myself... And that got a big laugh and a couple of claps. I won't say a round of applause. But where I actually went, no, that was... probably not a good joke. Not a good joke, and no, I don't want to associate myself with that
So
joke.
What you've done there, what you think what might have happened there is you've taken the temperature of the room, if you like, and you've articulated the zeitgeist.
But they were all on board.
Yeah, exactly. So you got it right, but then realised that you don't want to be part of the mob that you're playing to.
Yeah, have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, when you've got a heckler... Although I did the last gig I did, I was closing, I wasn't emceeing, but this woman just wouldn't shut up in the front row. And I was the last act on. The only reason I mentioned that is by the time I sort of spoke to her, everyone was looking at me like they had the hump with her. You know what I mean? It's like she'd been obviously, but I weren't paying no attention. But she'd obviously been piping up all night. She was drinking a goldfish bowl full of gin, and she said something like, "What?" And I looked at everyone like I sort of did quite a good put down. I can't remember what it was. And you sort of like look around. You don't get a laugh. You're like, "What?" I'm there, and I look around, and everyone's sort of like got this look on my face like, "Can you just not talk to her? We've had a fucking enough of her." Like everyone.
Yeah.
So I've gone in hard. Like she might have said something that didn't bother me. But I went in quite hard on her because I took the temperature of the room. And you've always got to play to the 99. If there's 99 people dislike that one person, you want to get the 99 to laugh rather than slag the 99 off and get her to laugh. That's just law of averages, right? It's a numbers game. Yeah. So I've definitely gone in hard on someone that's heckled when I thought I haven't got a problem with them, but I've had to pretend that they're annoying me. But they aren't. I just want to articulate what the room are feeling.
I've definitely got this thing as well, where if I'm MC, again, normally it's when you're MC because you can break away. If I'm doing a set, I will maybe analyse them a bit more. But if I'm MC, I like to sometimes not put the person down and just get them to explain what they're doing. Or
no, exactly, which is exactly what I'm saying. That's what I didn't do on this particular occasion, because as soon as I started talking to her, everyone looked at me like they'd had enough of her.
Yeah, don't want to hear from her.
So I had to do the, I had to tell her to shut up, basically, which I didn't want to do, but that was what the room wanted, and that comes from MCing a lot, I suppose, and also MCing my own nights that you want to go well. Yeah. You know, because it's your gig, you want it to go well, you want everyone to have a... Like, if you're emceeing someone else's night, as long as you do okay and you still get paid, you couldn't give a fuck. But if it's your night that you're running...
Yeah, it's on your shoulders.
Yeah, it's your baby, isn't it? So, but that's exactly what I'm saying. I had to do the old, all right, shut the fuck up now. But I didn't want to, but the crowd wanted me to. And I buckled and did what they wanted.
The last gig I did with a guy you might know, Andy Story. Do you remember Andy Story from starting comedy?
Probably.
I think when we sort of started, he was starting about the same sort of time. And it was quite interesting that he was talking about, he's been gigging quite a lot since lockdown unlocked, in the gap between lockdowns. And he was saying, it's definitely something that I have been aware of for a while, not because of lockdown, but just, you know, I came to it probably through MCing. And he suddenly had this realisation about slowing down and being in control.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that, isn't that strange? Because like, I don't know when mine happened. I think mine did happen MCing.
Yeah.
But that really is a really strange thing about where you just go, right, I am in... You go into this, like, zen position of, I am in charge. I'm going to talk at the rate I want to talk at. This is fine. You're not barking through your material. The last gig I did was a not an open mic night, but a mixed act bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a couple of the newer acts racing through stuff.
Yeah, because they're worried about what's going to happen in the gaps. Mm. You can prepare your material. When you're not experienced on stage to go with the flow, you don't want any flow to go. So you want to write your material... And you want to rattle it off, not giving them chance to get a word in edgeways. You don't want to leave a gap because something might happen and you don't know what to do. I remember doing that. But I remember that learning to slow down. I remember you think, I want to come across as confident and aggressive and sort of like slick. But the more you do that, you just look nervous. Yeah, nervous people talk quicker.
You stop, the better you are.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, I'm going to this COVID test centre. And you pull up, so there's all these big tents, right? And I pull up and there's a sign that says do not undo your windows, and a bloke walks out in a hazmat suit and he's got a little sign and he holds up a sign like a laminated piece of A4 and it says no filming, no taking pictures, you should, and then he turns the sign over and on the back it says you should have been emailed a QR code, get it up on your phone. So I'm sitting in my driver's seat and I get up on my phone. It's like going for a military checkpoint, right? So he walks around to the driver's side window and he scans my QR code through the window. I don't undo it. And then he sort of looks at it and he sort of like holds up his phone, which has got all my details on it, my name and my reg, and he goes, is that you? And I'm like, yeah. So then I drive through and then this girl comes up to the window and she's shouting through the window, again, all masked up, suited up. She goes, have you got your ID on you? And I didn't. I was like, oh no. She went, oh, okay. Go to the next, like, it didn't matter. I was like, what are you asking me? Just again, is it a little another chance to mine my data in some way, Ash? I don't know.
I don't know.
So I go up to this next one and this bloke holds up a sign. This is when I go in one of the tents. It's like an open, it's like a big marquee, but with no front and back on it. It's just sort of like a, you know, like a tunnel. Maybe.
An awning.
An awning. So I go in this awning and this guy holds up a sign and it says, turn your engine off. So I turn your engine off. And then he flips it over and it says, call this number. And it's got a mobile phone number. It's fucking really weird.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting and I dial it.
He did the COVID test over the phone.
No, he answers his phone. That's his number. So he's standing in front of my car on the phone to me.
Does he go, hello?
He's going, can you pay attention, please? Yeah, who's that? That would be a good prank. I should have gone round and then the next time another car went, I should have phoned his number and pretended to be
hello there.
I should have pretended to be the person that go, I'm going to run you over. Because he was stood in front of my car. So I phoned him and he basically does the old, cabin crew do about the safety procedure. He's got this little bag. Oh, he's actually got a little sidekick comes out of a fucking porter cabin and he's got a bag and a swab and he's going, you have to do this, put up your back down the back of your throat. But if you touch your tongue or cheek, it won't work.
What?
Yeah, that seems strange, doesn't it, Ash?
I didn't know that.
Well, then you take the swab out of the back of your throat, then you have to put it up your nose until it hits resistance for 15 seconds.
Till it hits resistance?
That's what
they
said.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Put it up as far as it'll go. So anyway, and then they go, you put it back in this little sort of like, you know, like a sample bottle. It's got a little bit of...
I had one.
Oh, you've done
one? At home. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I did it in my car.
That tongue or cheek thing.
Well, there you go. So anyway, so they go, pull over here. They go, reverse into a space and there's all these cars parked up. It's a bit like... You know, the bit at McDonald's where you have to wait if your order's not ready. Mm. It's like that. So we do it all, and then the bloke comes around, he's looking through the window, and before you, there's two bags you put it in.
How do they pass you the bag?
Oh, he goes, the bloke goes round to your passenger window, and he goes, undo it an inch, and undo it, and he sort of chucked it through. And then I had to do my window back up again.
As all the COVID leaks out that inch hole.
Well, exactly. So I did it. And then, like, as you drive out, you drive through another awning and there's a bloke in a hazmat suit with a bin. And he just holds this bin up and you undo your window and throw it in the bin. And then you drive off. And, so when I did the... this is the weird thing. So going back to the bloke was telling me how to do it on the phone. And he goes, is there any questions? And I went, how long does it take to get the results? And you would have thought I'd asked him what is the nature of... Like, as if he'd never been asked it before. He went, how long does it take to get the results? And he looked at his mate, and his mate like shrugged his shoulders. He went, within 48 hours. And I was like, no one's asked you that.
That's the one question. Maybe he wanted more philosophical questions.
Yeah, do you want to ask me anything? Like, what time do you finish? Fancy going for a drink?
That's what it was.
What the fuck how could he not have expected that?
Broke his heart, mate.
Surely you've been told this. So anyway... Chugged it in the bin, and I've got my results today.
Oh, mate.
And it is not good.
It's not good for the podcast, or not good for...
Oh, it's not what you think, mate. It's not good. I'm going to have to... Do you want me to read you the text word for word, but I'll have to touch my phone?
Well, let me be honest. I think it is what I think, because I know...
I bet you £100 it isn't.
Well, I know that you're... going to work after we record this podcast.
I bet you £100 it isn't what you think.
Oh, right. I reckon it's that they couldn't get a reading.
Yeah, it didn't work. Did it for nothing. And then they go...
I just made 100 quid.
You up? No, because... No, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Hang on. No. For a man that doesn't believe in time, you have to timestamp. I said, I bet you £100 it isn't what you think. Then you changed what you thought. I didn't say, I bet you £100 it isn't what you're about
to... What did I change? What did I say?
You said, you thought it was a negative test.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I
you said... did. Fuck you. It's void. It's a void test. That wasn't what you was thinking until I gave you a few clues.
What clues did you give me?
By telling you it wasn't negative.
No, you didn't.
I did. I said it's not what you're thinking, which is what you were thinking. So if I say it's not thinking...
No. What I was thinking was that it was going to be void.
No, because you said, I know, because you're about to go to work. And by rights, according to NHS, but with it being void, I should self-isolate until I get another one done. So I'm actually a rule breaker.
Yeah, I think that is a 10 grand fine.
I don't care. Edit that out if that's right. Google that. Is that true?
I don't know.
No, fuck it. I ain't give a fuck.
So when have you got to do another one?
I ain't going to do it.
Oh, that's good. Well done.
Well, I did my bit. It's like, you know, it's like if you turn up to work, say you work in a shop and you turn up for work at 8 o'clock Monday morning, it's all shuttered and can't get hold of the boss. You just go home, right? You turned up. I'd still expect to get paid. It's like that. I went, I did in good faith, but I did stick the swipe my anus.
I don't think you meant to do that.
Well, it's just a little bit of fun, wasn't it? Boring. I felt like I was dogging parked in the middle of nowhere.
Well, at least they've got your data now.
Exactly. I got back and I felt worse. And I thought to myself, I wonder if they put something on the swab.
I bet they have.
I've just put a micro machine in my throat.
You've put, yeah, nanobots.
And that, but because I'm so, my ovula's gone, the nanobot hasn't worked, which is why they want me to go back and do it again. But I had a close escape, a narrow escape.
The nanobots I reckon they're already in your system.
So, what do you think about the American election results the other week then?
What's happened there?
The other week, the election. What happened?
Yeah.
What do you think?
How are Norwich doing now in the championship this week?
Yeah, they're doing well.
Don't know, mate.
Oh, God, I'm glad lockdown's over anyway. That was a nightmare, wasn't it? I don't know. My mum phoned me today and she was going, oh, do you think it'll only be a month? And I was like, asking me? I don't fucking know. Like, she's actually asking me. Like, she's going to make all her plans for the rest of the year based on what I said.
Yeah. Well, it is strange, but everyone's got an opinion on everything, haven't they? Because I was talking to my physio about sports punditry and how, like, the first hour of any TV show, any sport, is pointless. You know when they go, what's your prediction for the game?
Yeah.
That is the most pointless hour of television that is on television, other than, like, what the Celebrity Love Island guys are doing now. That bit where it goes, yeah, I think it's going to be a tight, cagey game. I can't see there being many goals. 3-1.
Do you know what I think the only valid time, or the only sort of, like, time where I'm interested in that sort of pontificating is something that's never going to happen?
Okay.
So, like, Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali. Because is the pontification. So it's...
I'm happy about statistical analysis, tactical analysis, like, after the game. So you can do that. I agree with you there. Totally and utterly. You can have a conversation about it. You can have a detailed examination of what's happened or what could happen.
Yeah, what I said was what could happen and saying what's not going to happen.
Yes, yeah. Totally think that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm happy about it.
No, exactly. But yeah, so looking back, I do that with chess. That's what my favourite thing about chess on chess.com. You can go back and have your moves and analysed by the computer.
I'm happy for there to be 2 hours after a football match where they analyse the tactics and the statistics and everything. That's fine. I just don't want to hear it beforehand.
Unless it's not going to happen. And you could say who would win out of the treble winning United and the current Liverpool team, for example.
Yes, totally and utterly. That's fine.
So, okay. All-time Premiership first 11, go.
I mean, there's literally no one interested in that, is there?
One, there's got to be, I think there's only one nail on that you can't argue.
Well, Alan Shearer. probably.
Yeah, well, Alan Shearer, or he's the top goal scorer, never played in a truly great team. So he made a lot of his own.
No.
But I'd say Schmeichel was the only one that you can't debate. I don't even think there's a close second, to be honest.
Well, you can debate it, can't you? You can debate it by saying David Seaman.
But you can't. You can not have a straight face.
Jens Lehmann didn't lose a game for a year and a half.
Who?
Jens Lehmann. When Arsenal were invincible. Arsenal played a season where they only conceded 18 goals.
You said David Seaman?
Yeah, David Seaman, yeah. He played a season where he only conceded 18 goals for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Although that might... Yeah, no, that might be the division... To be fair, that was Division 1.
That's what I'm saying. That's not Premier League.
Jens Lehmann didn't lose a game. I think Peter Cech, didn't Chelsea go a season where they only conceded...
But it's just... You can't have someone in the all-time 11 with a stupid little hat on.
Okay. But I'm just saying it
can't... And I don't mean Jewish fellas. Just want to point that out.
Not many Orthodox Jewish footballers.
There was that one that Hartson kicked in the face.
Was he Orthodox?
Don't know. He played for Israel, didn't he?
But did he wear one of those hats?
A yarmulke. You couldn't have an awful job. They wouldn't be able to play on a Saturday. That's insane.
Is that true? They can't play on Saturdays?
Saturday, you can't play on the Shabbos, mate. Fucking hell, come on.
What about their shoes that they wear? You couldn't play football in them either. They're like really smart.
I think you're thinking of Sinbad. Also. They'd puncture the ball, wouldn't they?
What would happen? Are you allowed to play if you...
What shoes?
You're like the...
What shoes are you on about?
You know the ones that they wear where they're like, they look like smart shoes, but they also look like clogs.
Who wears those? Orthodox, dentists?
Orthodox Jews.
No, they don't.
You look at an Orthodox Jew's feet, they often have these shoes on. They look like business shoes, but they've got quite a heel on them. You know, they look like, you know, like if someone has a built-up shoe.
Mm-hmm.
They look a bit like that. That's like the style that they go for.
No one knows what you're talking about, Ash.
I don't think that's not unacceptable to say.
It's not unacceptable, but I don't know what you're talking about. They just wear like brogues and stuff.
No. You think they do, but have a little look.
I've never actually studied their shoes, Jew's shoes.
Exactly. And what about their wives' sort of padded coats with the fur collars?
Sure. I think you're thinking of Eskimos.
That's a very common thing. I live in a, like, just about a mile away from where I am, there is, like, quite the Jewish community. And they have a sort of almost strict uniform that I think they wear.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about working class people in their tracksuit bottoms. I just think people tend to, I don't think it's a uniform that they have to wear. It's not been dictated anywhere, but I think people
what
tend.
What about that hat? What is that hat? It's a big, round, furry hat.
Well, that's Ashkenazi.
Did you say shemaka?
Yeah. Oh, yarmulke. No, that's a yarmulke. Is a little the coaster.
Oh no, I'm talking about the big round like polo thing. You know, it looks like a
cowboy hat.
No, it's sort of padded disc. It's like a fat hula hoop.
Yeah, furry.
Hmm.
Mm, that's Ashkenazi Jews. I think that's more the Russian style, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that a real hat? Is that real fur, I mean?
Oh, don't go all vegan. Yes, probably.
Gross.
Yeah.
Here's a thing. What was I thinking the other day about Amish people? Because you know they can't have technology, can they?
That's right. So we can say what we want about them. They can't hear us.
I was thinking something the other day about technology and... I can't remember what it was. Can they listen to podcasts?
No, it's technology, isn't it?
Can they... What about click and collect?
No, how would they do that? They can't even use a car.
So they can't use Amazon?
No. I'll tell you what I did the other day, what I haven't done for ages.
Oh, is there a cut-off point? Like, can they use things like read books that are printed on a printing press?
Yeah, they can. So, books technology... Shoes are technology, really, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so are their shoes handmade?
But even if you made them by hand, it's still technology. Because, you could make a fucking computer by hand, I guess. But is that...
Well, like with valves.
Yeah, probably.
Like an Alan Turing one.
Are they allowed to use a stove?
I don't know. I'd like to know. Maybe there's an actual cut-off. Like an axle is a machine.
I mean, sometimes you do look at these communities and just think, grow
is it
up.
Worth it?
Yeah. Don't you?
Like, if there is a God And I don't think there is. But if there is, do you think he's going, if it, like, stop technology in 1930? Oh, no, because the car would have been 1930, earlier than 1930.
Yeah, like it's 18... very arbitrary, isn't it, that there was a cut-off point, and it would have been... I was listening to someone years ago, and they said, we just think Scientology is ridiculous because it was invented by that L. Ron Hubbard in the 50s.
Yeah, but they're all the same.
Yeah, but, like, Roman Catholicism was invented by someone 2,000 years ago. But we're like,
the only difference is because Scientologists haven't killed people to make them believe.
Well, and also it's because it's recent and we've got photos of the dude, you don't take it seriously, but it's all arbitrary. Like when they made up that no technology rule, as you rightly say, I mean, that's after we invented fire by rubbing sticks together, but before the car. So
I really did come up with something where I was like, oh, I think that's technology and I don't know how they'd get around it.
Toilet paper? Flushing toilets?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they slop out? Like a prison lag doing a decent stretch? That's how we, that's how we speak in the in the slammer, like
3D
mate.
3D printers.
Well, yeah, no, of course. They've seemed to have died a death. Everyone's banging on about them. I haven't heard anything from them for a while.
No, okay, so if you're allowed a printing press...
Mm-hmm.
So you can print books with a printing press.
Not that they print books, but they might read books.
But then, so what?
Oh, what about you? How about this story? How about this little conundrum? So, let's say they're allowed to use hammers because they raise barns and stuff, don't they? That's all they seem to do. I've seen Witness. I've seen Witness in Kingpin. They tend to build a lot of barns. That seems to be their thing. They're like little beavers.
Raise a barn.
Raising barns. What about, so you can use a hammer, right?
I guess so, yeah.
What about if I made a hammer on a 3D printer? Could they use that?
Can they use it if the handle was made on a lathe?
That's what I'm saying. Where do you draw the fucking line, mate? If you're rudimentary, your rudimentary tools are
pencil.
Yeah, I mean these are interesting questions.
Pencils are made on a production line.
No, they're hand carved. I saw a thing about it. Hand carved they use a lot of child labour.
Really?
Yep, they whittle a whole tree down to make one pencil.
Wow, that does seem...
That's why the Amazon's disappearing.
Okay, well, if you are Amish, you're breaking the rules, but get in touch.
Well, they do have a thing, didn't they? They do have a year off. They're allowed a year off when they go crazy. And they go into the city and get fucked by... What?
I'd love to meet some Amish
girls
with that year off.
Like a dirty Amish virgin with like the beard and no mustache. Get right up her minge, mate.
A year off. If I know anything about religion, the girls aren't allowed a year off.
They are. It's called like Springer the Googer or something like that. Springer.
Yeah, what do you think the girls are?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's because it's a religion?
No, the girls are the ones that go and get all the sweet D. They go into the city. They get a one-way ticket into the city. They get all D'd up, mate. D in every hole.
What about... See, my parents live opposite a...
Amish community.
No. It's called, like, the... Is it Plymouth Brethren?
I don't know.
It's right up your way, so you should know.
Oh, yeah, the Plymouth Brethren, yeah.
And they aren't allowed to listen to the radio.
I know,
cars and stuff, but they can't have the radio.
They can't have a radio in the car, but you are allowed an 8-track in there.
Is that true?
Yep. You can listen to an 8-track, but not a cassette, because rewinding it is deemed to be satanic.
No, see, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not, because it is ridiculous.
I'm telling the truth, mate. Would I lie to you?
Yes.
Yep. I'm lying, of course.
But, so they would, a friend of the family worked with one of them, and he said he would come into, like, the stores. He was an engineer, and he'd come into the stores, and if the radio was playing, he'd just take his time getting the stuff he needed so that he could listen to the radio. Like, he's not allowed to listen to the radio, but he would just hang around in there listening, because that's the only time he could ever hear a radio. So then what's the point? Like, in terms of religion, if you are cheating it and
that's the whole thing, isn't it? That's God is omnipresent if you believe in him, so you're not cheating anyone.
So that means you don't believe those rules.
Of course.
What's the point?
Being a good little boy so your mum and dad don't tell you off.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I used to listen to the radio at work, and the people I used to work with, I'm talking 15 years ago, used to listen to Radio 2. And Steve Wright's show comes on in the afternoon, which I hated.
You love a bit of Steve Wright.
So I went in my car the other day, and Radio 2 came on. I don't know how it came on. I've got an old card. I've got one of those, fuck it, this is embarrassing. I've got one of those things what plugs into the cigarette lighter and then I can Bluetooth connect to that.
Yeah.
And then I have to tune my radio to a certain frequency. But that weren't working and Radio 2 was on. And I swear, the last time I listened to Radio 2, I was listening to the Steve Wright show in about 2005. And I stopped listening halfway through his show. And I think I heard the second half the other day. It was exactly the fucking same, mate. His same little helmet cheat. Oh, factoid. Oh, Steve. Oh. And everything's exactly the same.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Knowing that fact...
Factoid.
What does that... Does that make you... I think that you're angry about it in a certain extent, but I also think you are the kind of person that go, fair play, mate. Jesus Christ, fair play.
No.
You've been doing the same thing
for
this length of time.
No, completely wrong. He's right the first time.
Congratulations.
Nothing but anger, disgust, hatred, contempt, wish ill upon
really?
Him. Yeah, and all his little... cunt mates that go, oh, Steve
Wright.
I think
he might be the highest paid presenter as well.
And I just remember I've seen him on telly when he used to do Top of the Pops, how ugly he is.
Isn't it weird that he never made that transition over? Like, it did Top of the Pops, but he did nothing.
He was ugly. Extremely ugly man. He's got a little...
Yeah, but that didn't stop your Savills, your Blackburns.
But Savile had a look, didn't
Edmunds.
He? Savile's a cartoon. Oh, this is what I've realised about a lot of the comedians now. They're cartoon characters. They've got a distinct look. I saw this thing and it was like this lineup of like comedians that are sort of up and coming, ones that are starting to do a bit of telly. I looked down and I thought, you look like Simpsons characters or something. You're just like a little gang of cartoons.
That's the world we're living in.
Yeah, fuck all
you
that.
You have to have a thing.
I don't want a thing. I'd rather not have a thing.
You don't have to have a thing, but you can only get to what a certain level or do a certain type of thing. TV, for example, if you have a thing, you're not going to be on TV because you don't
too
have
old.
A thing.
No, my thing is I haven't got a thing. That's not good enough.
No, because I'm also in that bracket.
I'll tell you what else I did the other day, which I haven't done for 15 years. And I don't know if this.
Oh, well done, mate.
And I don't know if
that's
it's
brilliant.
Yeah, thanks.
When are we going to meet her?
When she exists. I nearly pissed myself.
It's going to be one or the other.
And I really nearly pissed myself.
Did a bit of tinkle come out?
No, but I was in such pain. I pissed. I've made it to a public toilet.
I've got to interrupt you before we go into the story because I think you're going to like my daughter more. Like, I know you wouldn't use either of these terms, but I think you need to give her some respect because I said, have you done a tinkle? Which I know would make you angry. And she said, no, not tinkle, wee.
Yeah. If she just said piss, I would adopt her.
Yeah,
but that was better. So it's an upgrade.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Justin would be so proud.
Yeah, proud. Proud of you, mate, for making babies. I think it's a very good show. So I did this piss in the public toilet and was in pain for about 2.5 hours afterwards. It was so bad.
What the... Piss.
No, yeah, my stomach swelled up. Like, my bladder was all... I drank a load of water.
What?
Yeah, and I had to go to the bank. I wanted to go to the bank before lockdown.
The piss bank? The sperm bank?
The Barclays bank, because I support apartheid. And I went in...
In which town?
Norwich City.
Norwich Town City. Yeah. Did you go to the one on the industrial estate? Or
no,
the
one in the city centre. Because I was having a look around. And I thought, I went in and some woman was in front of me, old woman. There was only one teller. Is that what you call it? Is that an American word?
I'd call it a cashier. But
Cashier, yeah. Well, we call them ATMs then, so we should call them ACMs then.
Okay.
So, I didn't go to the ACM. And you do that thing where the bloke comes around, he's like, oh,
it's
what are you doing? Can
automatic.
You use one of our machines? And I actually had some euros. I wanted to switch these euros into pounds and pay them into my account. And this woman in front of me was 15 minutes. Old lady, fucking about, things in out of a bag, this checkbook, that checkbook, things fucking... I'm looking around, no one behind me in the queue, and because I was on my own, they didn't put another cashier on.
No, they're not putting any cashiers on.
And I started fidgeting, holding it. I started to sweat, I needed a piss so bad. So anyway, I came out of the Barclays, one near Nando's. for those who know Norwich.
So you've already done a piss that's made your tummy hurt.
No. Sorry. I've gone back in time like Pulp Fiction. This is before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I like to weave a complex tapestry. So this is before. This is the preamble. So I go to the castle mall, and I go to the stairs up to the piss, and they've turned it into a one-way system. You can only go down them. So I had to go.
Oh, no.
I had to walk quite a long way towards where.
Was there anyone there? Could you have just done it? Could you have just run up?
Ash, I'm a good citizen.
Okay.
So I went, and honestly, I just literally got to the urinal, and there was four urinals. Two of them were blocked off for social distancing. There was a geezer at each one. I had to wait. Yeah, mate. And I'm by this point.
Had you already released?
No. I hadn't. I was holding on to it.
I've done that before, where I'm braced for the toilet.
Yeah, and then you
I
get once you.
The release.
Yeah, I've done that where it's as you're undoing your trousers, it comes out because your body goes, "Oh, we've made it," but you haven't made it. But
no.
I've learned from that, and I was SAS in it. I was like, I ain't fucking. Okay. I was, and I just got my penis and balls out because I never like to
pop them through the flyer.
No,
the top.
I like to get them out. It's a three-piece set. I like to keep them together. It's like orphans, right? If you had triplets in an orphanage, you don't go and adopt one. You take all three.
Okay, so flop them over the top.
Everything's come out. I've got my balls in my hand, giving them a good scrunch. Because I'm stressed out.
Scrunch.
I'm scrunching up my balls like a stress reliever. And I did this piss that, I'm not going to exaggerate, it was 45 minutes long. It felt like it.
Was it pure orange?
And I was going, yeah, it was like marmalade without the bits. And I was going, ah, like that.
Do you think the pressure of the belt had lowered the circulation?
I don't know what had happened, but because I had my mask on, I don't think there was a few people in there. I don't think there was a bloke washing his hands who just had a piss. I don't think he knew it was me or the other bloke.
He came and went.
And as I was pissing, back. It was like my stomach started swelling up with gas. My stomach started like getting distended.
You think you were taking in air whilst releasing?
I don't know, my snorkel. I think I was pissing through my snorkel.
Yeah, you could have been. And maybe you were sucking air up through your arse.
So I finished pissing, and it didn't. The pain didn't go away. It just still was uncomfortable. It wasn't relieving. I put everything away, and I pretended to wash my hands because there was people in there. And I left. And I'm walking, and I'm going, and my stomach, Like, if you'd have prodded it, it was rock hard, but getting bigger.
Do you think you pushed piss up through
the
valve?
I don't know what's happened, Ash. Two and a half hours my stomach hurt for. Like, properly hurt. It was rock solid and distended.
Do you reckon you've got kidney stones and that's why you're feeling ill?
I don't know what's up with me, mate, but I've not been well. Let's just say that.
I've not been well for 2 years.
Do you know what? That's true. You're right.
I reckon you've got kidney stones.
Yeah.
I reckon
is it bad
everything.
That I kind of hope it's terminal, in a way?
Yeah, that is bad. Yeah.
No, it is and it isn't, because it's sort of like, I'm so non-committal. I don't want to, you know.
If you do die, at least I can just carry on the podcast.
Exactly. You get someone like, more reliable,
here,
can't you?
When you can't do it, I'm like, people are saying to me, oh, why don't you just do it? Why don't you do it? I'm like, I don't want to do this podcast without Justin Panks. Some people have got in touch. Thank you for those people saying, oh, if you want to just chat shit with me, blah, blah, blah.
Why
has
no one ever told me to just do it?
Yeah, but I think people knew it was you that meant we couldn't do it.
It wasn't, though. It was you as well sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. That's all right. No one's blaming you.
It sounds like they're worse than just blaming me. It sounds like I'm being eschewed.
But if you actually just die, then I could probably just carry on, couldn't I? That'd be right. I'd call it the Prr and Firth show.
Just sounds so appealing, mate, dying at the moment. Just, oh, thank fuck that's over.
Don't get back. Let's not get back into this frame of mind, please.
It just sounds so, when you said if you just die, like, just sounds so like, oh, just fuck it off, just sack it off, just get a bed, just sounds, it sounds nice.
You can just go to bed.
Yeah, I know, but the way you said if you just die, it sounded like if you just sort of like you know, just quit, if you just don't go to work anymore. You know when you hate your job, and then you just go, I'm just not going to go anymore. I just feel like that about it. So I'd like a terminal illness, please. That's on my Christmas list.
Now, there you go. There's another episode wrapped up nicely on an upbeat note.
But I don't want to kill myself because everyone would just talk about, oh, he's a coward, he had kids. But just, I'd just like to take it out of my hands. Please, universe, can I have that? To do some cosmic ordering like Noel Edmonds and his weird dark little beard.
You alright?
No.
Okay. Well, know that, you know, I like you. There you go. Does that help?
You want to do it on your own. This is the
but yeah, I do a bit. You're right.
So
you're right.
Yeah, well, put on your Christmas list as well, Jussie P, to get terminal illness. And long, drawn-out, painful one so I can maximum moan. I don't want it to just happen overnight. I want to enjoy it.
Actually, you know what? It would be good for numbers. It really would. If we could do, like, the Terminal Illness podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want you to die, but if you could get an illness that we could really put you through... But you'd have to do the podcast, mate. Not like last time when you got all depressed and stuff. Mm. You'd have to actually come and do the podcast.
Yeah, right.
I don't want it to be like, you're like, I'm ill, I'm dying... I don't want to record the pod. Like, because that's what the theme of the podcast is going to be. It's going to be Justin's illness podcast.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
I think so.
All right. Well, should I do it anyway to pretend I'm dying? And well, I am dying. We're all dying, aren't we?
Yeah, we're all
from the day you're born. From the day you're born, Ash.
Yeah? You don't need to tell me.
Mm. Is that why you've turned your back on time?
Yes.
Because you're in denial about the fact that every day you're taking another step towards...
It's not denial. I am refusing to accept time.
In an attempt to what? So it doesn't apply to you?
No. I understand that I will still age, as it were, but I'm refusing to acknowledge the concept of time.
Hmm.
It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm just refusing to accept it. I'm refusing to fall into its... into its trap, into between its lines.
Hmm.
I'm a rebel. I'm a time rebel.
Webble. I'm a rebel, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah, the other day. You know the one-stop shop?
Yeah, the other day I saw that one-way staircase to the toilet and I went, no, I am going to follow it.
But you know the one-stop shop?
Have you? You've not stopped there twice, have you?
Mate, the other day I didn't go there at all. I just drove past. I was like, fucking, I stuck my finger out the window. I said, fuck you, the man, I'm not living by your rules.
I had Aldi's own... Have we spoken about this in previous
podcasts? The IPA, you haven't told us your tasting notes.
It's nice.
Is it, what's it like, a BrewDog?
Yeah, well, it is a BrewDog.
No, sorry, is it like a Punk, but not as...
It's 4.7%, so it's got enough in it. But it's probably just slightly weaker tasting than Punk.
I don't. Punk's not my favourite brew dog. My favourite one, they brought out one summer and I've
only... Hazy Jane.
No, my favourite one was called...
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
Instamatic.
Yeah, that is nice. That is nice.
But I've never seen it again.
It was only sold in Sainsbury's.
Oh, that's really good.
But I'd go Hazy Jane every time.
Hazy Jane.
It was fine.
Is that a
it
pun on something?
Daisy Aldi, chain.
Is that a pun?
Do you want anything? No, I don't think so.
How do you know?
Don't know, mate.
Well, if they brought out Ald IPA, I think they're punny.
Yeah, they love a pun.
Well, then Hazy Jane might be Daisy Chain, right?
Hazy. Yeah, but for why?
Because it's made out of daisies.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
Like burdock and dandelion.
That's oh, my daisies, God. Famously. What do you call it? What's that drink?
Dandelion or burdock.
There you go. Do you know, I once had a girlfriend, honestly, and I was on about a third date, and I thought, oh, this could be something. And we went to a restaurant back then. I was very young, probably 17. First time, you know, went out, pub meal sort of thing. And there was no cutlery on the table. And it was all going okay, the relationship.
She didn't ask for a fork and knife.
She said, excuse me, can I have a fork and knife? And I ended it. That was the last time I ever saw her.
You got lucky there, mate. Well done.
And you, but that's, I mean, but I can't even say it the wrong way around. Burden and dandelock? What did you say?
Burdock and dandelion.
Yeah.
I would never say that intentionally. Come on, mate.
Burdock and it's not Burdock and Dandelion, is it? Yeah.
Dandelion and Burdock.
Yeah, but I thought I said Birdie Lion and Dandock.
Yeah, you said it wrong. But not intentionally.
Anyway, just can I die now?
You can if you want.
All right. See you then.
Cheers, mate. See you. Speak to you next week.
Well, can you just put in the obituary? Are you going to do my eulogy?
Yes, 100%.
Do it now at the end of this podcast. There you go. My obituary is the word I was looking for.
Justin died.
It's what. Not in front of me. I can't hear it.
Oh.
That's like I'm fishing.
It does feel a bit like you're fishing.
With my little maggot.
I like Justin. A lot of other people didn't. He said it as it was, and he sometimes said it how it wasn't. But ultimately, he's dead now, and he's never coming back. And I'm sorry to his two children, but that's just the way that is. He was a funny man, in every sense of the word.
Peculiar.
And what?
Funny peculiar.
Hold on, he's back.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh. Ooh.
Is it windy in here? Someone close that window.
Oh, I'm so tired. I'm tired of it all. Just so tiring, isn't it?
Should we have a party? Do you want to have a party?
No.
I hate parties.
Yeah, I hate parties.
We haven't got time for this. We haven't got time. You've got to go work.
All right, then. Well, I'm going to go because I'm tired. I'm rambling now. This kid's waffling. Chatting shit.
I love you. Speak to you next week.
Bit gay.
Ha ha.